Could you grab your Bibles, please? You're grabbing them. Please go to John chapter 14. And as you're scrolling or flipping your way towards John 14, I'm going to read a prayer of illumination. I did not write this prayer. I found it. The only credit I can take is that I found it somewhere and thought this was a good one. But someone wrote this and I thought it was really good. So let's pray this together. Holy God, Word made flesh, let us come to this word with openness to being surprised. Silence our agendas. Banish our assumptions. Cast out our casual detachment. Confound our expectations. Clear the cobwebs from our ears. Penetrate the corners of our hearts with this word. We know that you can. We pray that you will. And we wait with great anticipation. In Jesus' name, amen. So, as hopefully you know, we've been working through a series on God's voice. And I have said many times, I take it as axiomatic that God speaks through Scripture, but that's not what our focus is on. In Scripture, there are places where God says that he speaks to us in ways that are outside of Scripture, not that contradict Scripture, and we'll talk more about that another time. But is one does not live, man does not live, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Many of those words are, of course, found in Scripture, but there are ones that he is still currently speaking to us, and we need to learn to tune ourselves in to that voice according to Scripture. A couple of weeks ago, I used the analogy and said it's sort of like those health nuts out there that encourage you to eat all the different colors of vegetables because that's how you get all the different nutrients. And I went home that day, and Chantel rebuked me and said, "That's not a health nut thing, Benjamin. That's just health." That's true. So when we come to Scripture, and Scripture tells us that we are to listen and to hear God's voice, that's not a health nut thing. That's just a health thing. It's not for the pros and the professionals. It's not for the special people, as if there are any. It's for all of us. This is for all of us. This is a word for you. Now, in Bible college, I was actually told the opposite in Bible college. There were a couple of passages in Scripture in particular that I remember vividly. One particular professor talking to us about that this is just for the apostles hearing God's voice. And it's only for the apostles so that they could write down Scripture. And God doesn't speak this way anymore. And you're going to find it in John 14 and John 16. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to be able to see this, especially if you have a print Bible where you can actually see quite a large amount of the context. That's going to be really helpful. I'm going to reference the wider context in just a moment, but I'm going to put the verses up on the screen that my professor was referencing. So this is John 14, 26, and then down to chapter 16. So it says, this is Jesus speaking, and he is speaking to his disciples, just to the apostles, just to the 11. And Jesus says, "But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and will remind you of all that I have said." And then a little bit later on in a speech that is ongoing, Jesus says, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. And for this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." Now, I'm going to take this off the screen, but hopefully you've got it in front of you as well. Is this just a health nut thing? Is it just for the professionals? Is it just for the apostles? Do you have it in front of you? Now, I grant you that it is first and foremost for the apostles. They're the ones that Jesus is currently speaking to. So the context is John 14 to 17. And in that context, if you have a red letter Bible, this will come out nice and clear, because you'll see that for a couple of pages, it's just red letters. Like, Jesus just doesn't stop talking. He's going on and on. So this happens after the Jesus has washed the disciples' feet, after the Lord's Supper, after Judas has left. And so there are the 11 remaining apostles in front of Jesus. And that's it. This is taking place in the upper room. And so that's where Jesus makes this statement. So obviously it is for the apostles first and foremost. But is it only for the apostles? See, my Bible college professor told me that it was. But he's inconsistent. And I don't think you're going to want to say in the end that this one is just for the apostles. Because it's one speech. So look at that speech. These are some of the best and most loved words out of everything that Jesus says. John 14, 1, where the speech starts. John 14, 1 to 4 or 5, something like that. He says, I go now to prepare a place for you. Who's the you? Is it just for the apostles? John 15, he says, I am the vine and you are the branches. Are you not a branch? Or is it just for the apostles? John, is it 15 or 16? 15, he's going to say, I call you friends. Is that just for the apostles? He's going to say in John 16, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. Is that only a promise to the apostles? Just to those 11, sorry, you cannot take heart. You're not a branch. You don't get a place. Is that really what it says? It's kind of sad to me that my Bible college professor, who meant well, and I blessed him and all that, but he was wrong. What he did was he took this passage that we just looked at, and these couple of verses where it talks about the Holy Spirit speaking, guiding them into all truth, teaching, declaring things that are Jesus, reminding them of what Jesus has said. When my prof says that was just for the apostles, what he's done is said, everything else in this speech, that can be for me, but not this here. I say, that's just inconsistent. And what you're actually doing is gagging God in the process. You've said that God can speak here to me, but there only to them, and he doesn't speak now. Well, where do you get that from? How do you do that? If you're not willing to let go of I am the vine and you are the branches, if you're not willing to let go of the fact that I am one of those branches, I was not in that upper room, but he's still speaking about me. If you're not willing to let go of that, then what you have to do is bring these verses along with you and say, well, if I'm the vine and you're the branches is for me, so's this, that he will lead you into all truth, that he will speak. God has a voice that continues to speak to us, of course, in Scripture. But Scripture itself is talking about a voice that comes from outside of Scripture as well. Some people stumble, as we look at this passage, some people stumble over this idea because they go, well, that hasn't been my experience of being guided into all truth. So that must have been for the apostles. And I understand why people say that, but let's reframe this. Let's rethink what our expectations for that should look like. Peter was one of those apostles, right? He was told he would be guided into all truth by Jesus himself. Did Peter ever make any mistakes? Maybe we need to reframe our experience then, because you will see in Galatians that Peter makes quite a large theological mistake. So we're not just talking about Peter's going to sin occasionally. Peter makes a theological mistake. And yet he was the one that Jesus said he will be guided into all truth. We need to rethink what our expectations of that are going to look like. Just because the Spirit is guiding us into all truth does not guarantee that we are going to always receive what he's saying. Are you following that? The Spirit can guide, and I'm not always going to get it. I'm not always willing. I'm not always paying attention, et cetera, et cetera. Right? So we need to reframe our expectation for what guiding into all truth is going to look like. And secondly, I want to challenge you when you say, I haven't experienced this. I think you have. How many times has a scripture come to mind that you've needed? Words of Jesus have come to mind at a particular time. Well, that's one of the things the passage says. Right? How many times would you say you've been guided by the Lord? We just prayed Psalm 23. Right? He leads me. In fact, it says it twice. He leads me. Are we going to say that's somehow different than? No, this passage, John 14, John 16, it's for us too. This is a gift. It's a promise to you. You have experienced it. Our problem is that we haven't always recognized it. And I get that. And that's why we're doing this series, to begin to recognize the ways that God is currently speaking to us. So John 16, what does it say? Once again, let's go back to it. He's going to teach, he's going to remind, he's going to guide, he's going to speak, he's going to declare over and over again. These are the different things that we should expect from the Holy Spirit, from God himself. Some of it's going to be reminding us of what Jesus has said, and you have experienced that. Some of it is going to be about what he's currently saying. Do you notice what it says here? I didn't put the verse numbers in. I believe it's verse 13 of John 16. Anyway, I can't remember, but it says that the Holy Spirit will speak whatever he hears. That's present tense. What the Spirit is currently hearing Jesus say, he's going to be speaking it to you. And he will declare to you, in fact, not just what he's currently saying, but also the things that are to come. Whatever he hears, he will speak, it says. Now, let me just remind you that this fits with what we have already been talking about in the previous weeks. So we started with John 10, my sheep hear my voice, Jesus says, present tense. My sheep hear my voice. And that's not simply about salvation. If you look at the passage, it's about an ongoing following the shepherd, very much like Psalm 23. We looked at Hebrews 12. It says, see to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking, present tense. He's currently speaking. Pay attention. Don't refuse it. John 8:47 says, whoever belongs to God hears, present tense, what God is saying. Revelation 3, how many times have we quoted this in the last year? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, come in, lead with him or her, and he or she with me. Are we going to sit around that table in silence? He comes in? No. So all of what we're seeing here in John 14, John 16 fits with everything that we have already been talking about. So our problem isn't that God isn't speaking. Our challenge is that we need to learn to listen. We need to learn to recognize. And so if you come to prayer and you've been hearing these messages in the last couple of weeks and you go home really frustrated, like, I haven't heard anything yet, start by quoting these verses back to God and saying, I take you at your word. Quote, my sheep hear my voice. Quote, you say you're going to lead me into all truth. You say you will declare these things to me. You say you are speaking. I take that on faith. Quote them back to God. I really encourage you to do that. Because part of that will open you up to a broader understanding of the ways that he may be speaking if you ask him to help you recognize it. How long does it take kids to learn a language? A couple years, right? How long does it take adults to learn a language? A lot longer, right? And right now we're at this interesting stage in our household where Rosalyn understands more of what we say, but she can't speak it back, right? She's still learning that language. And it's that really frustrating level of communication where her three words are mama, dada, and no, right? And not in that order. But she's in the midst of learning a language, right? And it takes time. And it can be a very frustrating experience, but we have patience with her. Have patience with yourselves, friends. God is patient with you. It's going to take time to learn this language, but it's worth it. And he does speak. I've been mentioning these every week because I think it's so important. Here are the ways, the common forms of the still small voice. A word or a phrase. So, for Samuel, right? You know the story. God says, Samuel, Samuel. And that's it. All Samuel gets is a word. Once. You may not get the phrase until you respond to the word. Okay? That's what we see in Samuel, right? It takes him several times, and God is gracious enough with Samuel, who was learning to hear God's voice, to repeat it. And one of you mentioned to me the other week that someone said to you that God will often repeat himself, and he will often. It's not a guarantee, but he knows that you're learning this language. It's going to take time. So I think we can count on some repetition from time to time. It's good advice. Pay attention to the things that seem to repeat. A picture. We've talked about that. God loves imagery. Ephesians 1:18 talks about the eyes of the heart. God can speak to you there. An impression. We've talked about that. A feeling. We've talked about that. A thought. I didn't mention this one last week. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, "But we have the mind of Christ." So we should be expecting that from time to time, our thoughts will overlap with God's thoughts. Not inevitably, not always even when we want them to. It's not a guarantee. But if we have the mind of Christ, we should expect some overlap. So pay attention to the passing thought. Why not? Revelation 3:20 is a knocking voice. And I just put that up there more for fun. It's, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock if anyone hears my voice." What's the knocking that you hear? It's, "If anyone hears my voice." The knocking is a voice. Pay attention. I had a story I was going to share about this, but I've lost track because I'm just scattered. Impression. I was going to tell you about that one. I was having lunch with Terry Fossen, who is our regional minister for our Association of Baptist Churches here in Alberta, our particular brand of Baptist. He's not our leader. He's sort of a leader, but he's our shepherd in a sense. And so I was talking with him about a year ago, and I let him know in advance. I want to have this conversation with you. Just about some stuff going on at the church. He told me later on, he's like, "I felt a stirring in my spirit that this was an important conversation to have." It was not because of what I said. He didn't even know what I was going to say yet. But his exact words were, "I felt a stirring in my spirit." So whether you call that a feeling or an impression, there you go. One of the ways that God speaks. This was going to be an important meeting, he felt. Healing prayer story. Oh yeah. So this particular I'll do it anyway. So I didn't put scripture up there. As once again I said, it's just axiomatic that God speaks through scripture. But this past week, I had arranged to to have some healing prayer done for myself. And so ahead of that time, what I was doing was just praying, just asking God. And what comes to mind is a scripture reference that I had just, Matthew 18:12. So I pull up my phone and look it up. And Matthew 18:12 is the verse that says, it's about the one lost sheep, right? And it's the particular verse where it talks about the shepherd going after the one. And I was so comforted by that because it felt like it was like God saying to me, you spend your week sort of focused on a flock, but now I'm here to focus on one sheep. And there was a lot of hope in that for me. And I just really appreciated that. It was just an encouragement to me. But I'd never memorized that verse, and certainly not the address. It came. As I've been saying each week, I'm not baptizing everything that comes to your mind or your heart. I'm not baptizing and blessing every feeling or thought or impression or picture that you have, whether they come to your mind or your spirit or anything else. And we will talk in 2 weeks' time about how to filter and evaluate and engage in a process of not just engaging with God, but filtering to make sure, hey, this is God. And what are some checks and balances? What are some tests that that scripture gives us? So we will get there, but that's 2 weeks away. So I'm not blessing it. I'm not baptizing everything that we hear, think we see, and so on. But at the same time, like I said last week, I'm no longer discounting it just because it came to mind instead of coming off the page of scripture first. It should cohere with scripture. God's not going to contradict himself. And that's part of what we will talk about in coming weeks. But it need not necessarily, the conversation need not necessarily have started with scripture. I hope that makes sense, and you can always ask questions later on. So we're talking about recognizing. Learning to recognize is going to be different for everyone. Learning to recognize is going to be different for everyone, and it's going to have a lot to do with the way that God has made you. You are made differently than me. And so for me, I can be sort of heady and cerebral, sort of abstract. I know sometimes you may hold that against me, that I don't tell enough stories. I'm sorry, I do my best, but I don't think in stories. When you guys tell me stories, I never remember them. But if you say something in particular, I could probably quote you back what you said, just because the words stick with me more. So God tends to speak to me more through abstract things, through words, phrases. What else did I put down? Words, phrases, thoughts. More than he does like feelings, impressions, intuition. That's just not how I'm wired. For some of you, it's going to be the exact opposite. You're like, tell me another story, because that's the way that you think. You think in pictures, right? God's probably going to speak to you more in pictures. Some of you are going to, you recognize that you're a highly sensitive person and you are always in tune to other people's emotions in ways that I'm sorry, I'm oblivious to. Right? Just because that's not how I'm wired. But if God has wired you that way, he's probably going to speak to you more in those ways. He will also speak to you in other ways that stretch you. So it's not like he only has one road, right? One avenue for speaking to you. But he knows the way that he's put you together. So he will both stretch you in some new ways, but he will probably default more towards the ways he's made you. That's just me speaking from experience. I can't quote chapter and verse on that. Let me give you an example. This past week, for months, I have a couple of months, my only scripture readings outside of preparation for Sunday were primarily Matthew chapters 14, 15, and 16. They grabbed me. I parked on them for a couple of months. And this past week, I had this thought. Just come to mind, just passed through my mind. It's just a thought, right? Maybe you should read Matthew 16 to 28, which is the rest of the book. And I had some margin to do that. And so I did. And when I got to Matthew 26, I heard, and I'm talking about an inner ear. This is not like AirPod quality. We're talking about like, it was so quiet that how much noise does a bubble make when it pops? Like we're talking that level of that something that minute, right? But what I heard in that sense was, this one's for you. And as I read the next story, it was not even the story I was expecting when I started reading the first few verses. It was a story about the woman who has the alabaster jar, and she breaks this perfume. It's very expensive, over Jesus' head, anoints him and so on. For me, what's this? And then I had an impression. It was just, again, slight. But the impression was, let's talk about your jar. And we did. It was really good. God just sort of met me. So again, how many different ways did God speak there? Scripture, a thought, an impression, a word, a phrase, something like that. But these things tend to come when you're expecting it a little more, when you're starting to look for those ways. So how will God speak to you? You might get a gut feeling, an intuition, right? However, whatever ways that he's wired you. Let me wrap this up and then we're going to practice. In 2 weeks' time, what we're going to do is we're going to practice this a little bit more, but it's only going to be if you want. I'm not going to do it during the service. Unless God tells me otherwise in a couple of weeks. That's supposed to be a joke. You're supposed to laugh. God's voice. In 2 weeks' time, what I'm going to do is I'm going to invite anyone who actually wants to learn this a little bit more, practice a little bit more, to come here at 1 o'clock. And so we'll finish out our service, 11:30. You can split for lunch. You can bring your lunch back. You can mingle. Like, it doesn't really matter. But at 1 o'clock, what we're going to do is just take an hour, and we're going to have hopefully a few different people lead us through, just, that will be one of them, just lead us through a time of listening prayer in different ways, sort of like what I did with the with communion today, right? That's just one example of what we do. And we'll just learn, we'll practice a little bit. So that's in 2 weeks' time. Let's practice now. Would you close your eyes? Just say, Lord, I take you at your word, and I'm learning. Thank you for your patience. I want to be more sensitive to you. Would you speak to me now about how you speak to me? Or would you speak to me now about one thing to pay attention to this week so that I hear your voice more clearly? Lord, I thank you so much. You are so faithful. You are so kind. You are so patient with us. We are toddlers. We're just little kids coming to our Heavenly Father, asking for bread and trusting that because you're the good father, the good shepherd, you don't give a stone when we ask for bread. So Lord, would you sensitize us to your voice in all of the different ways that you speak? Would you tune us into what you're saying so that we may draw nearer to you, so that your spirit may remind us of all that Jesus has said, so that as you guide us into all truth, as you declare to us the things that Jesus is currently saying and the things that are to come, as you do this, Lord, would you help us to be increasingly faithful that just as we spend time with our friends and we don't do all the talking, may it be the same with you. I thank you so much for your word. Your spoken word, but your written word as well. We want to be people who are faithful to what the written word says about your spoken word, so that we may grow up into the full measure of Christ, so that it brings glory to you and makes us a blessing to our world. In Jesus' name, amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Go in peace, my friends. Blessings.